If you do not have a page on the last Romans 16, last outline, there is in the back. Let me know, and we get one for you. And if you are a listener on the internet, very soon we will have the entire series of Romans on the internet. And so for you and the congregation, so we save the church a lot of money and printing and colors and so on. And with Greg, we're thinking and how to save the congregation money for all of this. Greg have come out with a great information that I put in the church bulletin already today at the end, and how you can listen to absolutely everything we have is right here at the very end, where they said Bethel broadcast information. At the very end said new. This is a new. This is the archive listing, and you can hear and you can see the outline of all the sermons. It's called www.bbcmh.org sermons. All right? And you can hear. And if you go to Google, then you can see me preaching. But in here, you can hear the voice from 5-6 years ago. And Greg is trying to collect more behind so that we do a service through the internet to people. And the same with Romans. We will have a section where there are Bible studies done by me and Bible studies done by Pastor Greg. And we will put the outlines over there, and you can copy from there the outlines, and will save the church a lot of money and papers in doing that. And I'm working with the permission from the editor and Bible Works to put the Sunday school on the internet in that way, in our church only. And so that we will no longer pay the process of printing and so on. And I pray to the Lord to give me wisdom to save 10 cents here and 20 here and 50 cents, and I'm getting it. I'm old, but I'm getting that. I hear in the news, you know, I'm studying finances in the Bible, and I hear the public news in London, and they said that one of the strengths of America is that the people are creative. They will not be down easily. They are creative. And if you see the market, there are about 2,000 new markets right here in town coming in. One man became a billionaire already on producing this solar system for the farming. We saw one new with Raquel. I want to go and see if I can put find out what they do. And so I've said to myself, I'm going to do the best I can to save every penny here and there for the church. And so we're going to use the internet that we pay. I don't know how much we pay per month. Greg maybe know, but we will use all the, and Greg put all the voices over there so you can hear the sermons. Google free of charge. We have my picture on it, which you don't want it. And then the outlines can be in the internet. So if anytime you want a copy of something, you go over there, and we're going to put little lines like these to easily find it. And if a person do not have internet, sure, I print it. But it will be one copy here and one copy over there, and not the whole session. And I want to teach the Spanish class for the same. And in that way, we will have zero overhead expenses. And I want to talk to the other pastors who complain about we don't have money in the church and so on, to teach them how to save. Because the key in having a comfortable ministry is to save as much as you can and to utilize everything that God provides through the genius of internet as much as possible. We are on the last chapter of the book of Romans, and I love expository teaching because you go verse by verse, and then I cannot get out of the topic, and you cannot get out of the topic. We all have to talk with the topic said. So to refresh your mind, from chapter 1 to chapter 11, Romans talks about, you hear maybe people saying, the doctrine. The word doctrine in Greek is didaskalo, which means a teaching. These are the teachings. About what? Well, if you read Romans 1 to 11, you know Paul is teaching about sin. And so in theology, we classify that section of the book of Romans as the doctrine of sin. But there are many parts of the Bible that talks about sin. But Paul explained it from the Old Testament point of view and the justification of the Lord Jesus. Now in chapter 12 to chapter 16, actually 12 to 15, he is talking about the practicality of the Christian life. If you call yourself a Christian, here is a handbook and how to behave as a Christian. He talks about self-control ministry in chapter 12. Remember, do not avenge yourself, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good in Romans 12, 21, and so on. Then, in chapter 13, a respect ministry. You have authorities that are under God. And God appoint these authorities, the government, the police forces, all of these. We owe them respect. Period. God doesn't give further explanation than that. When an officer of the police force or a representative or a senator or a president is there, we owe him respect, said Paul. Then chapter 14, when they are really conscientious differences in of opinions in the church, he teaches you how to put things on the table and come to the unity of believers. In chapter 15, remember last Sunday, he talks about the ministry mentality, how each one of us can be used of God. And I want to tell you this. Our church is entirely different than the other churches in the sense that the only officer pay in the church is the pastor. The rest is you doing the ministry. And it's biblical, my brother. It's biblical. Number one, we do not pay one penny of taxes in the salary of anybody. And so your money is 100% in use. And this is not the only church. I have a church in Houston. I forgot the address, but Brother Greg buys for me a series of tape called Pastor to Pastor. Is that right, Greg? And I listen to them when I go to the gym. And I found one pastor giving testimony in Houston, a big church, that he is the only pay and the rest of the church works totally on the ministry of his congregation. And he was saying, even the young people feel, this is my church because I do this, I do the other. And I think that you feel in this way, this is my church because I do this, I did this, and I do this. And I'm proud of this, that we are not a business organization, but a church as supposed to be. Now we come to the end. And at the end of this chapter, many people avoid to teach chapter 16, but it's very enlightening as he greet people in his life. Now, the critics of the Apostle Paul are saying that how come he knew so many people and we don't have telephones and we don't have travel facilities, but they forgot that Paul was born in what is today Turkey, went to a school in Turkey and went to a school in Lebanon. And he spent traveling times and in boats in many places. So he knew Christians all over the place. And now he is going to address the Christians in Rome with different greetings. And I thought that he's going to greet and leave them, but rather he's going to give them some counsel and how to be careful in the ministry. Closing words of a pastor to his church. He knows he's going to be executed at this time already through the book of Acts, we can know. And so then he really tell the church what they should look for and how should be careful. And so I entitled this Paul's Evaluation of Being Careful. All right. First, the care of giving encouragement to people is very, very, very important. All right. Let's look on it. Verse 1 and verse 2, to a lady by the name Phoebe. He said, I commend to you, he's commending to the church of Rome, Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Cenchrea, that you may receive her in the Lord and in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you, for indeed she has been a helper of many and of myself also. So there are a few things he said about her. First, she said, devout women. Then he said, she is a women's ministry. Our church has a women ministry who is very helpful to the church in case of need. And so this is very biblical. And then, she's a woman who worked for the church, and he recommended to the church to be received in a manner equal to a saint. See, saints in the time of Paul were not dead icons on the wall. They were people alive. And so he said, you receive her as a saint. Then in verse 3 and in verse 4, he's talking about Priscilla and Aquila, which you are more familiar with, Phoebe. And look at what he said about these two people. He said, greet Priscilla and Aquila. Amazing enough, he mentioned his wife name first. My fellow workers in Christ. So, the women ministry is an emphasis. Verse 4, who risk their own neck for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentile. So these people specify in the scripture as a self-sacrifice. They expose themselves as a self-sacrifice. That were the apostles' co-workers. They were very instrumental in teaching one great professor, and that was Apollos. And you read that in Corinthians. And Apollos was a mighty man, but he did not understand the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. He was a preacher of the word, but he did not understand that Jesus rose again. And Aquila and Priscilla were their teachers. And the Bible said that after the visit of Aquila and Priscilla, Apollos become a mighty man in the word. In other words, he understood now the fullness of the gospel. So he appreciated them. And then from verses 5 to 16, he greets numerous people, an amount of people. And I go over with you so that you see it. In verse 5, likewise, greet the church that is in their house, the house of Priscilla and Aquila. Greet my beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruit of Acacia to Christ. And so, first fruit. You know what first fruit means? He was the first believer that came, and so he had the name. He remembered the first person that in Rome believed in the gospel. Verse 6, greet Mary, who labor much with us. Again, now the women's work and the women ministry was very active in the church of Rome. Verse 7, greet Andronicus and Junia, my countrymen and my fellow prisoners. That means countrymen means they were born in Turkey, and now they are in jail with him, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. So these people have a spiritual reputation, and they were believers before Paul was a believer. And I wonder if perhaps these co-citizens of Paul maybe shared the gospel when Paul was studying in Antioch and Tarsus. They maybe shared the gospel with him or not. But now he remembered these people were believers before him. Now, verse 8, greet Amplias, my beloved in the Lord. Somebody who really he loves. Verse 9, greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and Eustachius, my beloved. So here are spiritual laborers, people that labor and work with him. Verse 10, greet Apelles, approved in Christ. Greet those who are of the household of Aristobulus. And so here is a whole family who have become a believer. Verse 11, greet Herodion, my countryman. That means, again, he was a Jew and a Greek. Greet those who are of the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. So these are people who are members of local churches, and he remembered them, and he salute them. Verse 12, greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, who have labored in the Lord. Greet the beloved Persis, who labor much in the Lord. So these are devout women and devout men who work in the Lord. As you see, the beginning church did not have any staff. The beginning church has believers, and the believers were really involved in them. Now look at 13. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Who was Rufus? Paul's brother, his own brother. What a funny way to put it, no? He could say my brother, but look at what he said, his mother and mine. You know, we don't use that terminology in that way, but his own brother in the Lord. So it's just so beautiful. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobas, Hermes, and the brethren who are with him. Greet Philologus and Julia, Neros and his sister, and Olympas, and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with the holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you. Now, that he knew a lot of people, yes, he did. He did. And people said, how did he remember them? He maybe wrote them, their names down. You know, he write the epistles. He maybe wrote these in a piece of paper, and he kept them. And so they are the ministry of encouragement is wonderful. It's so good when I receive a card from somebody who say, "Thank you, Pastor, for this verse. Or, thank you, Pastor, for sharing this or the other." It's so encouraging. Don't get encouraged yourself when you receive a card and somebody says thank you to you. It's all somebody who remember you from years and say, "Hey, how you doing? I just thought of you." It is wonderful. And this is something that we need to do with visitors in the church. Visitors that sometimes you don't see it. I can't provide your address. And if you had that in your heart, you send a note and say, "Hey, I don't see you in church. What happened here? Is there anything we can do for you?" Encouragement is the ministry of the church. That is very, very important. Not only the pastor, who people call the professional. I get a letter from the pastor. Well, I suppose the pastor is supposed to do that. But people supposed to be one, two, or three families in the church who does this ministry, the ministry of encouragement. Send a, I give you every week. I punch my computer as I visualize the church. I know exactly who is missing. I go through the whole. I have my computer, Bethel Ministries, and I go like that, rum, rum, and I punch the line, and I and the computer give me the address and everything, put it together, and I put a note on it, and then it's printed, and the computer even print the stamp and everything. But that's professionalism. But you should do it in your own hand, with your own handwriting. When I was a pastor in Shadow Mountain, when Shadow Mountain was closing, it was not Shadow Mountain, it was Valley Baptist at that time, and was closing, they called me to restore the church. And I went through every businessman in town that they owe money, and I said, "We will pay you." And the church has 400 Spanish people in the Spanish church. We have two services, one at 11 and another at 1. One in English, one in Spanish. 400 people in Spanish. And we pay all the bills and went to the association and pay cash, the entire church, and so on. And you know, I wrote in the back of the bulletin greetings to the people. Evelyn was my secretary, very godly lady. And I wrote that nobody can understand. She said, "Pastor, this is bad." I said, "Evelyn, these people will be here Sunday." So I tried. And Sunday she looked around. She said, "Pastor, they came." And they talked. She said, "Oh, the pastor sent you something?" "Yeah, we don't understand what he said, but I tell you, it was great to receive a note from the pastor." She said, "I can't believe it." I said, "See, Evelyn," I said, "people are really hungry for this kind of caring." As a matter of fact, last Friday, I was in St. Louis Hospital, and Evelyn was there, volunteer, 88 years old, volunteer, and as soon as she saw me, "Here is a Spanish Baptist pastor," she said to everybody, you know, and we hug each other, just so beautiful. All right, so the ministry, giving encouragement to people, is a ministry. We need to do it. Now, the care of giving attention to problems. Don't let the problem go. It's not going to get healed until it's touched. So let's see what kind of problem. Verse 17, watch for those moving into the fellowship. And I give you a testimony about this. Verse 17, now I urge you, brethren, note, of the word should be mark, those who cause division and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you learn, and avoid them. It's very important for a pastor, quietly, but strongly to do it. When we start the Spanish ministry, about half of the year around, the house was full. We put the other place, it was full again. One time I count 26. And I don't like it, because when things grow like this, boom, there's something wrong on it. and you need to smell what it is. So I said, I'm going to stay put. I don't want to say a thing. Well, lo and behold, remember the man that was in a wheelchair? Not Dr. McCormick, but another one, short fellow. He called me and said, we'd like to talk to you, Pastor. I said, well, fine. We're making an appointment. We're going to meet. Some people came from San Mateo. Some people came from San Jose. So we're going to meet in this place. All right. He said, we'll be about 70 people. I don't like it either, but I said, okay, I'll meet with them. And should I bring any prepare for anything? He said, no, we're going to ask questions and so on. So, all right. And lo and behold, on Thursday, one day before the meeting, he calls me. He says, it's unfair, Pastor, to bring you here without telling you. What are we going to talk about? Okay, tell me. He said, we want to start a church. We're going to get a lot of people there. There are 300-400 Spanish people, and then get over this church. Get the membership, and we kick the Americans out, and then we get the church, and you become our pastor. I said, well, I'm very sorry, but I'm not in that kind of business. So you need to look for something else. See, what they say here, now I urge you, brethren, mark those who cause division. That's causing division, don't you think? Become a member of a church just for the purpose of disturbing the rest of the believers. I said, you know, by the way, we don't call this church American church. We call here Bethel Baptist Church. And they are Filipino people. They are American people. They are Spanish people. They are Portuguese people. They are, Ignacio Camin, he's Portuguese. They are Korean people. They are Chinese people. And we don't segregate here what nationality is one or what race is the other. And so this is not my cup of tea, and I counsel you not to come again. I said, that's why you never see them. I had to tell them, I don't want to deal with you. You don't come here again. Now that, you never noticed this, but I had to do it quietly, firmly, and strong to protect you. Remember, what is a pastor? Pastor carried the biggest stick against the wolf that come around, and I need to shield the church and protect it. So he said, watch for those. Then verse 18, watch their attitude and motives. He said, for those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech, deceive the hearts of the simple. The simple is not in the sense of saying bad, deceive the hearts of people who do not have that experience in their life. If it's a new pastor, do not have that experience, he feel proud. Oh, yeah, we're going to meet this. And then he take the bite. And then later on, they're going to fire him too. See, so the Bible says, watch their attitude and motives. Verse 19, watch your proceedings. Look at what the Bible says, verse 19. For your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise. You got it? And what is good and simple, that means harmless, concerning evil. I don't want you to think in evil, but I want you to be wise concerning what is good. You discern the situation, and according to the analysis of the Bible, when they talked to me, I said to the people very kindly, I said, have you ever read Galatians in chapter 3, verse 28-29, where the Bible said, there is no Jew, there is no Gentile, there is no woman, there is no man. We're all one in Christ. So now you are doing something that is unbiblical. Here is a Spanish church taking over an English church, completely unbiblical, because it's not the counsel of God's word. In other words, you have to be wise and simple to say, this is not the place, sorry, do not come again. And so that's proper and biblical. And verse 20, I love it, because watch Satan, but be not afraid of him. Look at verse 20. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. See? And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Now, that's a very bold statement, that they will crush Satan. And so far as I know, there are few scripture that the Bible give you about the crushing of Satan. Now, it is saying to me this, and it's very, very proper in verse 20. And the God of peace will crush Satan, will limit Satan and what he can do. And I'm going to show you some limitations of Satan. If you go in the Bible to the book of Job, one book before the book of Psalm, in chapter 1 and in verse 12, We have here, Satan is limited in the afflictions that Satan can do to the saints of God. That's what he said, and surely Satan will be crushed, will be limited. And look at what the Bible said, Job chapter 1 and verse 12. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has, Job has, is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person or his life. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. In other words, Satan was allowed to interfere in the life of Job, but with limitations. And that's the way it is. And if you go now to the New Testament, and 1 Corinthians in chapter 10, and in verse 13, Satan is limited concerning his temptations. He could never tempt you and me to the degree that you cannot overcome. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. In other words, Satan cannot block you and tempt you beyond your capacity if you're a Christian. You always have power over him. Now, Satan knows that he's defeated. And the Bible tells us how to defeat Satan. Move your Bible to James chapter 4 and verse 7. The Bible tells you how you can defeat Satan to the ground, to the point that he's leaving you. Look at James chapter 4 and verse 7. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, like Mrs. Reagan said one time on the drugs. The media asked her, what is the solution to drugs? Say no to drugs, she said. All right, here it is. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and what happened? And he will flee from you. You don't have, some people said, I'm going to battle the devil. No, you have no power to battle the devil. He's an angel. But you have the power to say no to the devil. And as soon as you say no in the Spirit of God, the devil will flee from that particular temptation in your life. So the care of giving attention to problem is very, very, very important. Now, finally, he gives the care of giving glory to God, verses 21 to 27 right here. Verse 21, Paul is no alone. Timothy, my fellow worker, Lucius, Jason, and Sosipater, my countryman, greets you. He's not alone. There is one thing that strengthens the pastor. Is your company. I say it again. There is one thing that strengthens and encourages a man who is a pastor. Is the company of his people. Remarkable. Verse 22. Paul has a writer. At this time, he was very sick, and he said, I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, greet you in the Lord. He took the liberty to insert that himself, the writer, the secretary, we call it today. He wrote the epistle. Verse 23 and 24, Paul has a ring of important people around. Gaius, remember in 1 John, Gaius, he was a faithful man. 3 John, excuse me. Gaius was a very faithful man. Gaius, my host and the host of the whole church, greet you. Erastus, the treasurer of the city. Look at that, an official of the city. Greet you. And Quartus, a brother. And so he had the chamberlain there of the city with him. And so he has a remarkable line of people. And now, verse 25 to 27, is Paul's all writings, because the letter ends in verse 24. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now that's so far the dictation of Paul. Now comes a different style. Paul with his own hand and a big letters is writing. Okay, and look at what he says in verse 25. He said, God is able to establish you. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began. God is able to establish you. It's not by reading book of history. It's not by reading books of psychology. It's not by reading book of sociology. It's by reading the gospel, which is the entire Bible. God will establish you. If you do not read the Bible, you are not an established Christian. But if you make a point in your life, I'm going to read this book, God is going to establish you in the sense of saying you will be unmovable. All kinds of doctrines will come in, but will not be acceptable. I got the news as I talked to some of the guys, and I was in Jacques Le Box, and here was one of my friends from O. Henry come in and greet. Some of you saw it, and we meet him two or three times. And he was in Hillside Church when he said, and they left the church a long time ago, and I'm working with him to bring him, for the first time I met his wife, and may the Lord bring him into the fellowship again. But one of the things I'm proud of the McDonald's people is that they used to be the Jehovah's Witness, the main emphasis at McDonald's, and they passed the thing until I got all the magazine, I fire in the back, I got a lady by the shoulder, take it out, and so on. So now she comes a different hour. And the people, somebody told me, you know what we tell her? Sorry, we don't need it anymore. Do you have a Bible? And they left, they said. Boy, it's so good. I feel so good. I cannot be there to guard them all day. But when you got the Bible, I passed the Bible. Thank you, church, for buying Bibles. I passed the Spanish Bible to these people. Somebody had read the Bible, said, do you have a Bible? We got a Bible. You got a Bible? Then we listen to you. And so it's just so, so good. All right? So God is able to establish you. God has provided an open message. Look at here. But now made manifest and by the prophetic scripture made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith. How many nations are involved in the gospel? All nations. So come on, we cannot call ourselves the Filipino church, the Spanish church, or the American church. We are calling ourselves the church of the living God. That's the way it is. And then verse 27, give you the answer to the word wise. Only God is wise. Look at verse 27. To God alone, wise, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. So when a people is wise, is that he's using the wisdom of God to make decisions. See? The deacon board of this church have made a wise decision. How I know it? The book of Luke tells us that how can a man start making a tower and do not count the money prior to making the tower, and then goes halfway and says, I have no more money. Then Jesus said, people will pass by and say, what's wrong with these people? They don't know how to count how money they have, how much money they have before they finish. And there is a church here in town that is finished by the city. The whole thing, and each time is more they owe. And I don't want to get unwise. I want to get to know, to do what God said, what God said. Young people, you're going to marry? I said, you look here. 2 Corinthians 6:14-18. He said, how can an unbeliever be united with a believer? Actually, the Bible is stronger. How can the devil be united with you? So it's better to be single all your life than to be married against the will of God. I told my granddaughters that because they're getting pretty and they're getting tall. And I said, get those guys away. I told Danny, buy a good rifle and get those guys away from you. You know, in other words, there is things like that. Very, very important. And if you do what the will of God said, you're wise. That's why Satan tried to get the Bibles out of school, because then the school was getting wise. See? And Satan trying to get us busy so that we cannot read the Bible. And so we get less wisdom and less wisdom and less wisdom. Challenge your children. I don't know if in homeschooling is a program or part of the homeschooling involved reading the Bible, but it's good to read the Bible as part of your curriculum. I don't know if it's in the curriculum or not. Some schools, maybe they have it. But the first thing I will do if I have in a school to put a curriculum, I say, Short history. What's short history? Read the Bible. We start in Genesis and end up every year. Because the Bible is the thoughts of God. And remember, only God is wise. All right? Praise God. We finished Romans. And we got the counsel of God. Many things are gone from our mind. You think so. But no, are there. Eventually, when a situation comes in, you will remember. You learned that in Romans. And remember, this will be, the outline will be in the internet. Is that right, brother? We're going to put the outline when I polish this in the internet. And will be Pastor Otero studies. It will be classified by books. Pastor Greg studies. And his questions will be there also. And I tell you, what a resource we have in the internet. And how much do we pay per month for that? Do you know, Brother Greg, Brother Cassandra, how much we pay? $50. For $50 a month, we can have the entire library of the church at the tip of your fingertip. And I want to classify that library like I did when I was in the Navy with my logistic engineering, my topic. So you say, I'm depressed. You push D and comes all the teachings on depressed, all the things like that. So that we have a source of information from God. Because only God is wise. Thank you, Lord. We honor you and we love you. Our country is expecting a new president. The more I talk to people, he has the picture of a Messiah. But I listened to the new president and he said, many things that I said cannot be done. Lord, he needs wisdom. Never too late. For enlighten him in the gospel, that he may fear you and love you. For us, Lord, we pray that in the business of our life, we will have the good pleasure of reading your word, especially families together. Lord, I grew up with a family who read the Bible at 4 p.m. That was the style of my country. I don't know at what time we can read the Bible. We're so busy. But Lord, that's what Satan does, so that we do not have the wisdom of God with us. Cause us to read the Bible as a family, and our church will grow wise. In Jesus, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen.